Welcome back to An Emo Girl's Guide to the Galaxy. This is Devin, and we are here to provide a safe space for readers, weebs, emos, and everyone in between. So if you love sarcasm and hate the patriarchy, you've come to the right place. And if you've seen Barbie, you better hate the patriarchy.
I was just going to say, it's time for updates, and we've both seen Barbie. It was amazing, and it changed my life, and I want to see it 50 more times.
We should all hate the patriarchy after seeing Barbie. If you don't leave, we don't want you here.
Somehow I both loved Ken and hated him and the patriarchy at the same time. And I loved it. It was a journey.
I know.
I laughed. I cried. The full spectrum.
I giggled. I got mad. I got sad.
I wanted to run out and burn my bra or something afterwards. I don't know. But for updates, I'm just here vibing again. I have not a lot of updates. I've been playing Tears of the Kingdom more than I probably should because I need to be reading our book of the month. And I've been distracted because I finally unlocked the underground map, the depths.
Uh-huh.
I finally figured that out. It was super easy, yep, and I just was an idiot and didn't realize how to do it. But I finally unlocked it, and now I'm obsessed with unlocking all of the map again. So I'm like, and there's a lot of it. It's like, anyway. So I've been obsessed with
when
that.
When I say it's going to take you a while, like, I'm not exact. Like, it's going
every
to
time
take
I
you
unlock
a
little part, and it's just
map.
Like a little blob. I'm like, that's it. Come on.
Yes, it's a lot more intensive to open up the depths map than it is
the
normal level, the world mm-hmm. map, because
which
there
I already
are a lot
thought was pretty
places.
Hard. But anyway, I've been distracted with that, but I've been reading Curse of Saints, which is our book of the month pick, and it's super good. Mm-hmm. I love it. I'm just like distracted, I guess. But I did manage to finish a graphic novel manga thing. I don't know what to call it because it's in the style of a manga, but it's a regular, you don't read it backwards like a regular manga, it's just like a graphic novel. Anyway, it's called Villains Are Destined to Die, and it was super fun, and I really loved it, so two thumbs up. It's about a girl who starts playing this dating sim game, and then she falls asleep, and when she wakes up, she's in the game, and she's like, what the fuck?
Oh my god,
and then she has to figure, and each of the love interest guys has, like, a heart meter on top of it, and they're all, it all, because it's a game, it all starts at zero, and she has to try and get it up so that she doesn't die, because if it goes into the negatives at all, then they'll kill her, and, you know, the game will end. Yeah. So, it's about her trying to figure out, like, who she can manipulate into, like, loving her or whatever, and then I'm assuming real romance will bloom, and I'm super excited, so.
Yeah.
Obsessed.
I was sold when you said it was a dating simulation, and then she falls asleep and she wakes up inside the game. Like, that
there are princes, and, like, yeah, it's really great. Dukes, and she has to, like, find one to love. It's great.
Yeah, okay, I'm adding it to my list. I've already grown my already growing list since I can't seem to finish a book. I don't know who I am these days, but I'm halfway through our book of the month, which is The Curse of Saints, and I'm also loving it. There's an emo boy and
Willa is
intrigue.
Like in the book boyfriends. Like he made it already. I love him. I love him so much.
I know. I just there's a lot of tension, and I'm here for it. Mm-hmm. And I like the emo boys. The emo toxic boys, give them all to
me.
We
made a whole podcast around it.
Am I in a toxic relationship? No. Do I want fictional
you're compensating,
toxic
you know,
emo
you're getting that.
Characters with all the red flags? Yes. Yeah. He has secrets? Give them to me.
Yeah.
But I'm hoping to finish it soon so that way we can talk about it. It's just really good, and that'll be the first book that I finish in a really long time. In other news, I am also getting a haircut this week that has nothing to do with books, but I'm just really excited because
chopping
my hair
off.
Is so dead and fried. I'm cutting it all off, starting fresh, going back to my
that
natural
always feels
color,
really good.
So I'm excited. Yeah. And I have so much hair, so whenever I get even a slight trim, it feels like 10 pounds have been lifted off of my head. So I'm just really excited to chop it all off and start over and be like, oh, there's nothing there. I'm so
light. I can
feel
the breeze.
I also got some really cool book mail today from Sourcebooks.
Ooh, which?
It's called Night of the Witch. It sounds really good. It's out in October, so perfect for spooky season. And it is about a witch who is the lone survival of a brutal attack on her coven. And then she is trying to find her family member and bring the Hexenjagers, the witch hunters, to justice, because obviously her whole coven is dead. And then Otto, who is a Hexenjager, that's just a cover though, one of them burned his innocent mother alive, and he's been plotting his revenge. And then they meet up.
I wasn't ready.
They meet up and they band together to, you know, figure out what's going on. And it is medieval Germany and it is romantasy. I know there's a paper in here somewhere that had a bunch of stuff, but it sounds really, really good.
That sounds badass.
So I'm talking about it now so everybody can get it. Medieval Germany romantasy, Sasspot Witch, the witch hunter assigned to burn her, Shocking Twists, Romance on the Rhine, A Trip to the Black Forest. Also, Jennifer L. Armentrout did a quote, and so did Claire Legrand did a quote for
Sold.
This book. Like,
that's all I need to know.
If they like it, like, I'm already here for it. Jennifer L. Armentrout said, set against the backdrop of the medieval German witch trials, Rosch and Revis, who are the authors, weave a fantasy and heart-pounding tale full of history, love, witchcraft, and war that will have you gripping your book waiting for the next shocking twist. And Claire, who, if you know me, you know I love Claire Legrand, said, Night of the Witch is an irresistibly compelling page-turner, distinguished by vivid descriptions of fascinating magic system and crackling chemistry between the two leads. Best of all, when I finished reading, I wanted more. Bring on the next book.
Crackling.
So this is going to be a duology. Yes, it's going to be a duology. This is the first book.
I love duologies.
I kind of want to read this next. But, like, I have so much other stuff I need to read, but I will definitely read it before October, so we can add this into our witchy season episodes, and we'll talk about that. And then, speaking of Claire, I also got my signed copy of A Crown of Ivy and Glass, which is her debut
adult
fantasy
novel. Oh, I saw you take a picture of it, and I was like, I'm so jealous, but I love it.
Yeah, I want, so I follow her. Tips for all you readers out there, anybody who's actually listening, follow your favorite author's newsletters, because sometimes they host giveaways that aren't on their social media pages that are not
hosted by
the publishers. Yeah, so I follow her newsletter, and she did two things. This is how I got my ARC, and this is how I got my signed copy. So when they were giving ARCs out, she had some type of contest of, like, if you talk about the cover reveal on your social pages, send us the links on this form, and then you'll be entered to win one of however many copies of ARCs. So I did that, and I did that while I was camping last year. That's how long I've been waiting for this book. And I was camping, and I was like, I need to do this. So I, like, did it on Twitter or whatever I did, and I won a copy. So when the ARCs came out, I got my ARC. And then when they were publishing or printing out the actual copies of the book a few months ago, she was like, talk about my book on your social, and you can win a signed copy of my book, one of however many. And so I literally sent all of the posts that I had been talking about this book since I read the ARC and I was obsessed with it. And I was like, here's my Instagram post, here's my other Instagram post, here's this Instagram post. And apparently I won one of those too. And so she dedicated it to me, and she wrote in her, like, one of her favorite lines of the book in there. And then she signed it, and I was like, oh,
that's so cool.
I love this for me. So lucky girl energy, lucky girl life.
Lucky girl, yeah.
That is what I had going on. And then also, last thing before we get into the main topic, is that we have been up to scheduling some really cool interviews with some really cool people. May or may not be some authors that everybody knows about. But yeah.
Dude, I'm so stoked.
I hope everybody sticks around long enough with us to hear some really cool interviews we have coming up. So stay tuned. We're planning some cool
stuff.
It's
good. It's going to be so fun.
I'm so excited. But anyway, to get into our topic, so actually before we get into it, I want to shout out somebody on social who sent us a really good review. They just were saying how they've been catching up on our podcast and how much they enjoy listening to us rant and talk about books. Thank God someone does. And so it was really exciting for me, yeah, because we're still small. We know that there aren't a lot of you out there listening to us yet. We're not delusional. We want to be. We're manifesting. But anyway, this person also, yeah, lucky girl life. This person, I obviously was like, oh, thank you so much. We appreciate it. If you have any feedback or if there's anything that you want us to discuss more of, like, let me know. We can try to fit it in. And one of the things that they had mentioned was that they really enjoyed us going through different tropes and different niche types of books and talking about them. So we decided to do another hot take, I guess, maybe not, but another episode on tropes. And so we talked about love triangles already, and now today we're talking about everyone's favorite, I think, enemies to lovers. it's a more popular one, and I can see why, because it's also one of my favorites.
I know, I broke mine up into love, hate, and meh / question mark again, and most of them are in the love, so that's good.
Yeah, I don't think that there are any that I would say that I hate on my list, more of just like meh or I'm obsessed with it, but I'm here for a good enemies to lovers story.
But I did want to say thank you for the feedback, and we're always open to feedback if anyone wants to give it and suggestions, and like, we want to make what you want to hear, so just tell us.
Yes, yes, we want to be your source.
All of the five people who are listening, we love you.
Shout out to my sisters and your mom.
Yeah.
And the one person on Bookstagram.
Hey.
And anybody else who randomly finds us and thinks we're funny, thanks a lot.
We think we're funny.
Yeah, I'm hilarious.
I did want to start off this episode with like an overarching, I don't know, topic or question or...
Yeah.
But I was looking at, first of all, to make this list, I found a Goodreads list. It was like popular enemies to lovers, and I was going through it and then yeah, like listing the stuff that I've read. But then some of them, I was like, is this enemies to lovers? And I gotta say,
I know a lot of mine too. I was like, I don't
stuff
know.
On that list, I was like, would we that's what I have a bunch in the mess / question mark category. And all of the ones with question marks are ones that were on that list. And I'm like, are these enemies to lovers? Yeah. And then that got me thinking, because I started looking at my list and I was like, 98% of these books involve someone being in head over heels in love with the other person and only the other person hating them for some reason. And I'm like,
yeah,
is anything ever really truly enemies to lovers? Like, I don't know. I feel
yeah. Well, okay, to go off of that, in true research Virgo fashion, I wanted to know, like, why it's so popular. And obviously, this is not new news. Like, we know that there are tons of people on TikTok talking about this. We know that everybody has already deep dive into it. But to reiterate the popular take on theory on why enemies to lovers is so heavily invested in and people like to read about it is because we as humans want to be desired and loved unconditionally. And so when you read an enemies to lovers story, you're seeing somebody become infatuated and fall in love with somebody even though they have faults and even though they have flaws and they might not be compatible at the beginning. They learn to like overcome those differences and say, I care about you and I love you regardless of like where we started or regardless of the fact that like we may not have seen eye to eye in the beginning of things. And so I just thought that was an interesting tidbit to share.
Someone who sees all your faults and loves you anyway, like crazy. Like someone who...
Yes. That's sees the bad and then... to lovers.
We all want that.
Yeah. And they see the bad first, right? So like exactly. If you think about reality, you always curate the best version of yourself when you like want to
first impress
somebody,
yeah,
or when you want to like, you know, if you're interested in them. But enemies to lovers is the opposite, where people always see the bad stuff first usually, and then the good stuff comes out, or it's like, oh, I misunderstood you. And so it's kind of like this feeling of I can just be myself and somebody out there will like me for me, mm-hmm. even if they might not see it at first. They'll come around eventually.
Yeah. I keep seeing people talk about this on TikTok, and I don't know why. This seems so random to me. But whenever the topic of enemies to lovers comes up, I keep seeing stuff about this fan fiction called Manacled, which I think is hilarious because it's a Harry Potter fan fiction. And, like, are we still...
We also just want to say we don't stand
I was just
going to
say
Rowling.
We don't...
We
yeah,
do not...
We shun J.K. Rowling in this house. But people keep talking about this fan fiction. It makes me want to read it. I guess it's enemies to lovers, and people are like, it's real enemies to lovers. And I'm like, what does that mean?
Like, they try to kill
I know. But anyway.
They're in a battle to the death.
That seems
I have in here, so to kick my list off is I tried to find stuff that maybe wasn't as popular as some of the ones that people are always talking about. So I think I have a mixture of some popular versus, like, some, like, are medium popular. And I put on here The Longing of Lone Wolves and the entire Fae Guardian series. I have been talking about Lana Parachik for, like, years now, probably.
Forever.
And she's still one of my favorites, and I am still waiting for this series to be complete. There are now, 7 books out? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
7.
Yeah, 7 books out. And
y'all, I've read 6 out of the 7, which is
they
a
just
stunning
get,
endorsement
getting
for
better
me
and better.
Because
there are vampires, there's fae shifters, there are elves, there are crow shifters. I'm so excited for the crow shifter books, but
me too.
Basically all of these different fairy people fall in love with humans from the past world. They're in, like, a dystopian future, and they're basically almost all enemies to lovers, and I'm obsessed with it, and everybody has magic and cool powers, and
I don't think of those as enemies to lovers, but now I'm thinking about it, I guess they are.
I would consider, like, them the, like, entry-level enemies to lovers, because all of them start off,
yeah.
like, being from, like, they're from different worlds, they don't trust each other, they, like,
I'm
don't
really
question
this
on.
Whole thing is making me really question what I consider to be enemies to lovers, and I don't even know. I think I need both participants to actively hate each other for me to consider it enemies to lovers. I don't know.
So not one that's just kind of, like, meh about the other person, and one
yeah,
that actively
not
hates the other
positive
person.
Positive to neutral feelings from one person, I don't really count. Like, I don't know why I want, like, both of them to be really mad.
So you want them to be really toxic.
I give, yeah, I don't know. Yay, toxicity.
If anybody has really toxic book recommendations for Loretta, she'll take them.
I don't know what's wrong with me. I do have a really long list of stuff, though. Like, I have The Hating Game on here because that was really cute. The ACOTAR stuff. A bunch of that could be considered.
See, I wouldn't consider ACOTAR.
I don't either, but it was like, on that list, and I'm and I was like, I like these books.
I guess for all intents and purposes,
A Court of
if you're
Silver
trying
Flames,
not...
I was like, that one's the most enemies to lovers, I guess, out of the series that I can see. But again,
yeah,
one of
I
them
guess.
Is super
if you're
alive.
Trying to go in if you're trying to like go in with the most basic level understanding of those books, I guess yes, you can say enemies to lovers, but I can't say anything else because then I'll just
spoil it
yeah. for anybody who hasn't read those. But like is there anybody out there who hasn't read those books? Because I feel like they've been out for years.
I know.
Like it's been a hot minute, 10 plus years. But anyway, I wouldn't consider them that once you read through them, but I guess if you're taking it from book one, then yeah.
I do have Serpent and Dove on here, and that one I do consider enemies to lovers because they both pretty
yeah.
much hate each other, like, from the beginning.
Yes.
And also yes. Kingdom of the Wicked, that one is very enemies to lovers because they both actively
I
hate each
read
other.
I haven't read that one, but it's on my list. Yeah.
It's so good. I have to read
I
the list.
I have on here A Promise of Fire by Amanda Boucher, and that one is part of the... I think it's Kingmaker Chronicles. Mm-hmm. Is that what they're called? And the girl gets kidnapped by the dude. So I feel like that is like active.
Definitely, yeah.
Hate. She gets kidnapped because he thinks that she is the answer to like a prophecy that's going to make him king. And so I think she gets tied to a horse with him on it. Like, not dragged. Like, they're both, she's, like, physically tied on top of a horse. If I remember correctly. You read the first book, right?
Two. I read the first two. She is kidnapped and, like, tied to a horse, and he makes her, like,
yeah,
follow. And there's, like, a whole thing.
So I consider that enemies to lovers. And those are really good, and they're inspired by Greek mythology.
They are really
and
good.
I'm a sucker.
I have to finish.
For mythology, so.
She just had a new one come out, right?
Go read them. Yeah, I haven't read it. It's on my shelf. It's called A Curse of Queens.
There you go.
And that follows a different set of characters, I think, which is even better.
Oh,
because
really?
You get follow-up content. Yeah. So the first three are a trilogy, and that follows the first set, like the two main characters. Mm-hmm. And then the end of the third book ends, but there are, like, open-ended things for some of the, like, it's not very closed. Like, there are a lot of things that could have potentially happened. You're like, wait, what happened to this person? What about this? And so the fourth book is following some of those characters that you're not really clear about what happened.
Yeah. Oh, that's cool. I didn't know that.
So, yeah, they're really good. I also have in here for some of the ones that I personally don't think are very popular because I haven't seen them being posted or talked about, but The Tainted Accords by Kelly St. Clair. You read those too, right? We read them together?
Yes. I had to really think about
that. Like, one of them is on, like, the cold planet, and one of them is on
the hot
planet. Or this is, like, the thing.
I read the first two. There's four, right?
Yeah. I think there's four books.
They're super good. Also, enemies to lovers. They pretty actively hate each other.
Yes. That, I think, counts as, like, classic enemies to lovers because one of them is from, like, one kingdom and then the other is from the rival kingdom. Mm-hmm. And one of the kingdoms has been lying to their people for a really long time about, like, the other kingdom. And so they're actively, like, feuding. There is an assassination in the beginning of book one, which starts off all the problems. So, like, clear enemies to lovers. Mm-hmm. Like,
an assassination and, like, a kidnapping, and it's crazy.
Yeah.
But in a good way.
There's also, like, pit fighting, I think. There's, like, random, like, MMA fighting rings.
Giant birds or something, too? Or am I making that up?
I honestly don't remember, but it sounds like it could be possible.
Watch me be talking about a completely different book.
I think maybe because they have to go through, like, the floating islands or, like, those rotating, like, pieces of land to, like, get from one place to the other, right?
I thought they, like, rode giant birds or something, but I definitely could be making that up.
I don't know. But anyway, they were good books from what I remember.
They were,
and there was definitely enemies to lovers, so.
It's a slow burn, too. Slow burn, enemies to lovers, which is good.
Yes.
What else?
You go next. We'll go back and forth.
Cruel Beauty I have on my list. I feel like no one ever talks about this book, and I never want to shut up about it. Cruel Beauty by Rosamund Hodge. It is pretty enemies to lovers. Not like super enemies to lovers, but you're either going to love it or you're going to hate it, I feel like. But I freaking love this book, and it's very, like, Alice in Wonderland meets Beauty and the Beast. And this girl is brought up as an assassin, and her whole life is leading to her killing this guy to, like, free the kingdom or whatever. And then she ends up marrying him. Like, to get close to him. And then when she has to kill him, she ends up falling in love. She falls for him. And he lives in this crazy house that, like, moves around and stuff. And there's kind of a love triangle, but it's really weird. But anyway, it's super good. The ending is so trippy. And I still don't really know what happens, but I loved it. So I'm confusingly satisfied.
It was good.
Yeah. I don't know how to describe it, but it's a thing. Carry On I have on my list. I fucking love that book. I read the first two.
I haven't read that either.
I have to finish the series. I don't want to because I don't want it to end. But the first book is very enemies to lovers, so yes.
Yeah. I have on here Bewitched by Laura Thalassa. This one is a newer book, and it was kind of popular when it came out.
I saw that floating around, but I haven't read it or anything yet.
Yes, so Laura Thalassa is the author of the Rhapsodic series, and I've read those. I don't know if you've read those.
Pestilence, which I ironically have on yes, my hate
Pestilence
list.
Yes, Pestilence is also, the Four Horsemen series, also Laura Thalassa, but Bewitched is her newest series, and I started reading that. I think I'm about 40% in, maybe? I don't know. The moral of today's episode and the past few episodes is that I've started reading a lot of books. I have finished none of them, but I started reading Bewitched, and it is enemies to lovers, and I'm really obsessed with the premise, which is there is this old world god. His name is Memnon. At the beginning, you see him getting, like, entombed by someone, and you see him, like, going away, and then it shifts to present day, and there are witches, and the main character is a witch, but her powers don't work correctly, I don't think. Like, something's wrong with her. Whenever she uses her powers, she loses memories. And so sometimes she'll wake up and she'll be like, I don't remember how I got here, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, that's crazy.
So she's trying to get into this coven, and the coven tells her, oh, you need to go, and you need to, I forget what they call it, but it's like a trip. Like, you need to go on a journey and, like, come back with X, Y, and Z in order to get into this coven and this school. She's like, cool, got it. I can do this. I've tried so many times to get into this coven. They've told me no every single time. It's my last chance. Gotta do it. So she ends up randomly booking a trip to somewhere. I forget where she's going. Somewhere in the jungle. And she wakes up. She doesn't remember why she decided to go to that specific trip, but something was, like, calling to her, she said. And the plane ends up crashing. She ends up saving everybody with her magic. And she accidentally unlocks this god's tomb.
I hate when that happens.
and he thinks that she is the woman that entombed him, who was also his wife / the love of his life.
Oh, wow.
And she is like, Memnon, bro, you got it all wrong. Like, I have no idea who this girl is that you're talking about. Like, my memories are trash. I don't know who you are.
I gotta go find myself in the woods, bro.
Yeah, and so she she wakes him up, and she's like, why are you making out with me? Like, I like it for some reason, but, like, I don't know you. And he's like, I will have my revenge, but you're my wife, and I love you, so, like, let's make out. And then she leaves and goes back home, and then everybody's like, oh, you made it, what happened? She's like, I don't really remember
made
much.
Made out with a god, you know.
And then, like, he finds her, and he finds her in, like, her, wherever she is, and she's like, bro, how did you know where I was? He's like, I told you that I would track you down and find you wherever you went.
I'm a god,
You're my wife. And so, I am excited to know where this goes, but, like, so far, promising.
I'm into it.
Enemies to lovers. Yeah. So, everybody go read Bewitched by Laura Thalassa.
There you go. I do have on my list Pestilence, which is the first book of the Four Horsemen series. Yeah. I have that. Actually, I thought I had it under hate. I have it under meh. Because I weirdly love that book. It's just the craziest effing thing ever. He's literally, he's Pestilence, obviously, which means he brings sickness and plague to everyone. So he's just literally roaming yes. the earth, infecting everybody. And then he kidnaps this woman yes. and he literally drags her behind his horse for, like, miles. So, you know, definite enemies to lovers. And then, what's that thing where when you get kidnapped and then you end up falling for your, what's the word?
Stockholm syndrome.
Then she gets Stockholm syndrome, kind of, and she ends up falling for the plague, i.e. pestilence, and it's so weird. But I weirdly loved
it. To be fair.
It's very confusing.
To be fair, for everybody listening, the Four Horsemen concept series is that the apocalypse is among us, and the Four Horsemen, aka angels, who are supposed to bring all of these bad things to Earth, start showing up. The first book is about pestilence. Not the best, but, like, his human / angel form is kind of nice to look at. According to the book cover, he's like,
I'm making
this,
it,
like,
sound not good, but I actually really enjoyed it, and I'm very confused about why I enjoyed it.
He's not this, like, sickly, diseased-looking
no,
man.
No, he's a hot
like,
disease.
He just has magical powers that, like, happen to bring upon disease to others. But, like,
but he
hot. Himself is not diseased. And the second book is War. So the second Horseman is War. And that one is, I think, a little bit more palatable than the first one. Like, he doesn't... It's not as aggressive as, like, dragging a woman on a horse.
I'm really dying to finish the series because I gotta know how the rest of that plays out.
Yeah, so those I thought were fun. Like, they were very interesting.
It's crazy, but, like, entertaining as hell.
Yeah. Yes.
I liked it.
But just to reiterate, they are hot angels, not diseased. Not diseased men.
I will say that another one I had under my hate list was the first book called Corrupt by Penelope Douglas. It's the first book of the Devil's Night series, which
I haven't read those, but I've heard about them.
The first book is about, I love this series, honestly. It's a great, like, dark romance series. Please check the trigger warnings before you read the books because there's some dark shit in there. But the first book, though, is about Michael, and it's very much on the cusp of being a bully romance, which pisses... I cannot do bully romances. I don't know how everyone else feels about them, but they piss me off. So I almost stopped reading the books after Corrupt because I got so angry at Michael in the process. And then I fortunately kept reading, and then the third book in the series makes everything worth it because it's so good. So, like, be warned. But that one was on my hate
list. I have not read those. I can't add to the commentary, but I've heard things. I've heard some crazy things.
Yeah.
So we'll leave it at that. Bully romance, trigger warnings.
Have you ever read a bully romance? I don't know. I've tried,
no,
and I can't
I have
do
not.
It.
I feel like it wouldn't be my thing, because I'm like, I don't want
I have a hard time wrapping
like
my head around it. I'm always just like, kick him in the nads and find someone better.
Yeah, like, I can do sarcasm, and I can do, like, the sassy, like, back and forth, mm-hmm. but I think, like, if it's actually mean, then I'm like, out.
Yeah, me too.
Like, you're gonna make me cry. If it was me.
I know.
In real life.
No, me too. Yes.
What else do I have on here? An Ember in the Ashes, and I want to bring this up because I know you have that on your meh list.
Well, I love this. Obviously, I love that series, but again, it was on that list I was looking at, and I was like, is this an enemies to lovers?
I feel like yes, again, in the classical sense, because one of them is a soldier who is trained to keep the peace and bring down the other people, and one of them literally got captured and is like a slave now.
Yeah, that's true.
And they're working together, and they're inherently meant to be enemies. Like, that is what they are at the heart of it.
Yeah.
But the only reason why I have it on here is because I just wanted to say that, like, Elias is the ultimate emo himbo. Like, we love to see it. Like,
he's such a fuckboy, and somehow it's fine. Like, somehow you're like, I love yes. him anyway. I don't know how he pulls it off, but he really
he's
does.
He's over here in the middle of being like, I'm going to die in this freaking prison. Nobody knows I'm here, but, like, all I can think
the
about
poor guy
is girls'
like...
hips. Like, like, I just want to cuddle up next to, like, this warm girl who may or may not be dead. I don't know. I'm in this, like... Like, cool, you're running for your life, and you're just like, wow, look at how beautiful she is, and I'm just like, all right, Elias, we got it. We know
but
your
But he
priorities.
Does that with, like, literally every woman that walks by, and he's like, ooh, Helene looks really good today. Oh, Lyle, yeah, look at her. But... I don't know, it's hilarious. But he does it in a respectful way.
Yeah, he's never, like... annoyingly gross about it. It's
yeah,
not
I never
like,
get mad
oh,
at him.
You're appreciative. You're I appreciative know. Of like the feminine form. Got it. We love it. Love to see it. Ember in the Ashes is YA fantasy. It is really heavily influenced by like Rome and Roman soldiers.
Super good. It
and
will hurt you.
There are
but it's good.
Gin, there's magic, there's war and politics, and yeah, it is, even though it's YA, I feel like the books just get worse and worse until they finally get better at the end, and you're just like gonna be left crying a lot. I'm
scared of it.
The end is very, I would compare it to Game of Thrones, in the sense of like everybody is warring for their own political power gain, but it's not like Game of Thrones in the sense that you have like all of these different families and all of the things. It's more of just like everybody's fighting, everybody wants political power.
I will say that again, the series has one of, if not the most terrifying villains ever, which is the Commandant. She is terrifying.
Yeah, she knows everything, and I don't know how. She freaks me out. But she does.
Yeah.
It's also very diverse, and the author is not white, which we love. So go read An Ember in the Ashes and support Saba Tahir. We love to see
Yay.
It. I also met her, and she's very nice and also very emo.
I've seen some of her, like, I've seen her posting about music and stuff sometimes, and I'm like, you're one of us.
Yeah. She actually said that the title in Ember in the Ashes is actually from, I forget what song. I just know that it's an emo song, like a very hard rock.
I love that.
Something that she was listening to, and that one of her kids or somebody was like, oh, that would make a good title, and it's an Ember in the Ashes. It's like from a song that she was listening to, I think, if I'm remembering the story correctly.
Yes. One of us. One of us. Staring at my list, I'm also seeing Radiance by Grace Draven. I never see anyone talking about that book, and it's really good. It's also an enemies to lovers arranged marriage kind of thing, and it's about a human woman who is forced into an arranged marriage with another race. Ugh, I forget what he is. I want to say he's a troll, but he's not a troll. He's like another, I don't know, he's like another being. Like, he's like a creature. I don't know what he's called, but he has like gray skin and he's big, and they both sort of like hate each other in the beginning, and then they sort of bond, and it's kind of funny because they bond telling each other that they think the other is ugly. They're like, you're so ugly. You're so ugly. But then they end up like falling in love, and it's really cute and it's really good. There's also a second one, but I haven't read it because the first one ends in a really good spot and I kind of don't want to ruin it. So anyway,
you're like, I'll just pretend that's a good one.
Yeah.
I have on here The Sinner and the Scholar. So again, going off of my love for Lana Parchik, she's an indie author. So one of her other main series is called The Deadly Seven. It's about a bunch of superhero siblings that save the world, and they all sense different sins. And those are all really good books. So then she wrote this other spin-off series called, I forget the final name she went with, but it's about nuns. Do you remember what it's called?
Sinner Sisterhood or whatever?
Oh, yes, that's right, that's right. So then this next series is called The Sinner Sisterhood, and these characters are secondary characters in the world of the Deadly Seven. So the reason why I'm bringing this all to light is because I highly recommend reading The Deadly Seven before you read The Sinner Sisterhood, because they're in the same universe, so it'll just be more fun overall, so that way you can tie everything back together. And the concept and the basis is that there is this sisterhood that has infiltrated, like, the church, and they work behind the scenes to infiltrate corrupt governments, and kind of like Black Widow, kind of like that, but not like the Russian mafia. It's more of just like the church, and they have their own series now. So there's like a rift in the world that's like leading to like some demon universe, and the Sinner Sisterhood has to like work with their arch nemesis, which is the man version of their sisterhood. So there is like a boy version that also works within the church of like men scholars, and they all have different holy vows that they take or whatever, and they all have different what are they called, like capabilities and all of like their specialties. There you go. They have like different, like there's a gun guy, and then there's like the scholar, and then there's like whatever it is. So the guys come to the girls and the girls are like, why are they here? Like, we don't need them around. There's something fishy going on. And the guys are like, we want to be here. But secretly they're trying to like infiltrate and get in and like become their superiors. But then they end up having to work together because there's like demons on the loose.
Yeah.
And so that again is like a true enemies to lovers. It's a series. The first one is out. It's called The Sinner and the Scholar. And the second one just came out. It's called The Gunslinger and something.
I have the first Deadly Seven queued up for when I finish Curse of Saints, so that's happening soon.
Oh, the second one is called The Sinner and the Gunslinger. So there's two books out, Enemies to Lovers, there's demons and magic, and it goes into, you know, some type of, you know, religious background of, like, angels and demons and prophecies and Mary, and they're really good. So highly recommend those, but remember, start with the Deadly Seven first. Just read all of Lana books. Like, just read them all.
I can vouch for the Fae Guardians, and it's super good. I love them.
I love all. Lana is just my favorite. She's also, I mean, I think a little emo girl, too. She seems like she is. Yeah, she's part of the emo crew, so.
Honorary.
We stan. We support.
I'm super excited. She has a spinoff of the Fae Guardians coming out, I think, soonish. I mean, there's more Fae Guardian books coming, so it might take a while, but The Slaw. I'm excited for The Slaw.
Yeah. Everyone just catch up so that way we
can all need to read the books, yeah.
Lana books.
Just read them all.
I will never stop talking about these books. What else do I have?
I have a bunch of, like, question mark books, like The Invisible Life of Addie LaRue. I'm like, that could be an enemies to lovers.
Yeah.
But I hesitate to even categorize it as that. I don't know. But I guess it is.
I haven't read it, so I cannot.
It's just say a weird dynamic between the two characters who I'm thinking are the enemies to lovers. So it's. But I mean, that's what it is. Anyway. There's that one from Blood and Ash was on that list, and I was like, don't know if I would consider this one, but...
I would say no.
It doesn't seem like it to me, but it was on there, so I added it. I love the book. It's in my meh category, because I'm like, this doesn't seem enemies to lovers-y.
Yeah.
Remnant Chronicles was on there, and I'm like, is this one?
I would also say no to that one. Yeah.
Night Circus, I don't even remember, but I'm like, I don't remember that having it.
Night Circus, yeah, kind of.
I guess it's rival. Isn't it, like, rivaling?
Yeah.
I recommend that book to, like, everybody, and I don't remember shit about it. I read it so long ago.
I know, me too. I only remember that they, like, are apprentices of, like, the two rival magicians who end up having to, like, have them fight.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't say that they're true enemies.
Yeah.
Because they don't hate each other.
Their bosses hate each other.
Yeah. I have on here Shatter Me, again, as just, like, a shout-out.
Oh,
because
yeah.
Those three books are just so...
Us talking about them the last two episodes makes me want to reread them.
I know. They're just so YA, but, like, in the good
sense. But
they're
so fun.
Like, you read them, and you're just like, this is so, like, early 2000s young adult.
You also get Kenji.
But it's so good. There's Kenji and... Aaron Warner, who is just this, like, lonely, hot blonde person.
Emo.
And he just wants to shoot everybody.
Yeah.
And we're here for it. So, it's on my list.
Also, the Selection, going off of the very YA vibes, the Selection series was on that list. And I was like, again, don't know if I would consider this enemies to lovers, but you should read those because they're so entertaining.
So,
the drama.
On the opposite spectrum, not YA at all, I have on here The Fae Chronicles by Amelia Hutchins. And I have, like, a very deep dive story of, like, how I came across these books. So, there, she's an indie author.
Is this
and
the free one you
year,
got?
Kind of. So, 1 year I was going camping and I was uploading a ton of stuff to my Kindle that I wanted to read while I was gone for the week because I didn't want to take a bunch of books and it was like my first year with my Kindle. And I want to say most if not all of her books, some of them were free. So I downloaded the free ones and then the rest of them were on Kindle Unlimited. And this series goes on forever. There are like spin-offs on spin-offs based off of the different characters. But the main series, the main Fae Chronicle series, follows the Prince of the Dark Fae. And this is a world where everybody knows that, like, fae and witches exist. So, like, the humans and the fae know that each other exists and they kind of coexist, but the fae live in their world and only sometimes come over, and the humans have, like, their protective agencies to make sure that nothing happens. And so the main girl in the series works for an agency that is meant to, like, help track down evildoers, like, of not human descent, and the Dark Prince comes over into the human world and needs help solving, like, a murder case or something, and he picks her, and she's like, I hate the Fae, like, the Fae, I think she thinks that the Fae killed her parents, or something or other, like, there's a reason why she hates him, he, like, is aggressive and bossy and rude, and, like, they hate each other for a while, and then just, like, things go sideways, and there's a lot of smut, and the smut isn't crazy, and there's just a lot going on in that series. Like, it went 0 to 100 real quick, and I just remember, like, being obsessed, knowing that it was completely trash. Like, there's nothing literally, that a word? Amazing about this series. You're going to go into it being like, what did I just read? But you're going to enjoy the ride. Like, you're going to enjoy.
That was me with all of T.S. Joyce's books.
Yeah, like, you're going to enjoy watching this Dark Fae Prince being like, excuse me while I go to town on this one lady. And, like, you guys can watch if you want.
I'm trying to remember, but, like, because I remember you being obsessed with these books. And I think I have the first one, and I tried to read it one time, and I couldn't get into it, not because of the book. I just, sometimes you're just not in the mood. I don't know.
There's so many, too. I don't even think I ever finished the entire world built around the Fae Chronicles, because there's so many, like, branched off series.
I'm trying to remember. I remember
the first four books being, like, super good. And then, like, you find out that, like, Fairy is dying, and they need help, like, bringing it back to life, and that, like, only a certain specific thing can do that, and there are, like, demons and witches and, like, angel, there's, like, everything in this series, and I'm just like, there's just a lot going on right now, but I like it, like, I'm here for it, like, I give me the trash romance, like, urban fantasy with, like, this really maybe disturbing for some, but maybe not, smut, and I'm just like, yeah, let's do it. Let's read about all of the rough smut going on, and
maybe,
like,
disturbing for some, but not us.
Yeah, I would say, like, I liked them, and they're enemies to lovers, so, like, do it. We have Kindle Unlimited, add them to your list.
I remember the beginning, and she meets the guy, and they hate each other, and then there's something with, like, fighting, or...
Literally, I think in the first few chapters, she gets into his car, and they're fighting.
Maybe that's what it
was. And then she gets out of the car, and he, like, compels her to, like, get up against the hood. And he, like, comes up around her. And I'm just like, I shouldn't like this, but I do like this. Like, and he's like, she's like, stop. And he's like, I know you like it. And I'm just like,
I love,
yeah,
all of that.
I like
it. Is he a vampire?
Like, no, the main dude is the Dark Prince of the Fae.
Oh, yeah, you said that.
The Fae Dark Prince. So there's, like, the Dark Fae and the Light Fae, and, like,
the compelling thing makes me think of like old school vampires, not Twilight vampires. And yeah, I love that shit. I love when they do that shit.
Yeah, it's so good. Not for the faint of heart, but I enjoyed them.
I have The Cruel Prince on here as meh, because I feel like that's an enemies to lovers book that everyone loves, and I don't really understand the hype around it, but I've also only read the first one, so.
I've read the first two. I didn't read the third one. I hated book one. Everybody in that book annoyed the crap
They're
out of me.
They're all terrible. Like, everyone is terrible.
Everyone. The second book, I think, is a little better. I like the ending of book two a lot. I was like, this makes sense. I'm here for this plot twist. But then I didn't get book three, and I just never finished it.
Books,
I'm like, I'm assuming that they live together happily ever after, but, like,
the fan art I see tells me yes. Truth Witch was on that list that I was looking at, and I love Truth Witch. I don't remember that being super enemies to lovers.
That is also super slow burn. It's super YA. So if you're going to go in expecting, like, people to get together after book one, like, that's not going to happen. You're going to have to wait for four books. And even then, you're probably not going to get what you're expecting. But they are very good fantasy books. So if you're going in for the fantasy and for the girl friendship and for, like, girl bossing and magic and all of that stuff, do it, because it's a really good series. But if you're going in for the romance, it's lacking. It's very slow. But overall, good. Yeah. I have all four. I think I've read the first three, but I haven't read the fourth one. Also, side note, that there is a novella for that series.
Sightwitch.
Yes.
Why do I remember that?
That is one of the only novellas that I will say added so much context and so much world building and actually was necessary for that series. It's one of the best novellas I've ever read. I was like, wow, this is what a novella should be. Not A Court of Frost and Starlight at all.
Fan fiction of, like, your own stuff.
Yeah, like, Sightwitch is so freaking good. Like, if you're going to read that story or that series, do not skip the novella. It's so good. Yeah, it's really good. I have on here Dance of Thieves, and I know that that one was super popular on TikTok and it blew up. But as a reminder, it is enemies to lovers, but you need to read the Remnant Chronicles first.
But Dance of Thieves is so good. I want to reread it.
It is like Mob Bosses, but better. I also have The Daughter of the Pirate King on here by Trisha Levenseller.
I've wanted to read that, like, and I haven't.
Those books, it's a duology. I think she's big on duologies. Most of her series are two books. But I've only read Daughter of the Pirate King and Daughter of the Siren Queen, that whole series. And the first book involves, obviously, the daughter of the Pirate King and the captain of a ship. And there is a only one bed, you're staying with me in my room scene. And it ends amazing. I love that scene.
We need to do an only one bed episode.
Yes, we can do that next. She is known for making her characters, like, super sassy, like her main women characters, like, snappy and fierce. And so if you've read anything by her but not Daughter of the Pirate King, just go into it knowing that you're going to get a lot of that same, like, sass. And it's amazing.
I have her other book, The Shadows Between Us, on here, which was so good.
Oh, yeah, that one's pretty good, too. Yeah.
Also enemies to lovers, also very good. The main character is also very sassy. We love it.
Yes, she's writing another one,
it's a standalone right now, and it ends in a pretty good spot, if I'm remembering right.
Yeah, yes, it does.
But I think there's another one coming. I do want to shout out, staring at my list, this one isn't really super enemies to loversy, but I love the book. It's called Bring Me Their Hearts by Sarah Wolf. I actually really want to read it.
I've read that.
I want to reread it. Because I read the first one and I absolutely was obsessed with it, and I haven't finished the trilogy yet, but it's really good. And this, I'm forgetting the details, but this chick is a witch or
she
something?
Works for a witch.
She works for a witch.
She works for a witch.
And
yeah,
she needs to steal the heart of the prince, and I cannot remember why.
Yes. For the witch. The witch tells her, like, if you want to be free or if you
it's for her freedom or for magic or for something. She has to carve the heart out of the prince. So she goes, and of course she falls for him. And it was on the enemies to lovers list, and I love the book, so it's in my love category. I don't know if I would really consider it enemies to lovers, but you should go and read it anyway.
Yeah, I have read the first book. I remember enjoying it. I have not read the rest of the series, though. What else is on my list? I have in here... Oh, to close off my list. This is not a book.
I saw it on your list and I got super excited earlier.
Top tier enemies to lovers that I will end on a high note. The Princess Diaries 2.
Yes.
I will not be taking questions. That's fact, not an opinion. Like,
may I throw in a hot take?
Yes.
The second movie is better than the first movie. I said it. Do I love the first movie? Yes. Does it have Chris Pines in it? No.
I think that I agree with you, but my hot take on top of that is that young girls starting off will like the first movie more than the second movie. But we like the second movie more because it has enemies to lovers and we're like, We want that tense Chris drama Pine. In our lives. We want Chris Pine to accidentally push us into a water fountain.
Exactly.
And come back all wet. And we need our like, foot to pop. Both back wet. Yes. But I will say that the first one came out probably when I was like 10, I think. I don't know. I was young when that first movie came out. And I remember sitting in that movie theater having a full on, like, my life transformed. Like, the scene where she's having her makeover.
Oh my God,
where she's sitting in the chair. And I was just like,
you're a very good moose. Make all the boy moose go, wah.
That scene is 10 out of 10 iconic for me as a child.
I was obsessed with the Princess Diaries books. So I was that little, like, 12-year-old or whatever that was watching the movie. And I was like, this isn't like the books at all. He changed everything. And I was really mad about it. And it took me a few watches for me to, like, really love the Princess Diaries movie. And now I do, but...
Yeah. It's so good. I will watch Princess Diaries over and over again.
Her dad's not dead! I was all mad.
Yeah, but it has She's supposed to live in New York! But that is how I will,
And a wonderful endnote.
Yes. But we do have a game, which I am very excited for.
We're bringing back the classic, Did a Man Write This? And yes. I am the...
Seems appropriate for enemies to lovers. It does.
And I am the one who gathered these little snippets, so Dev is the one who gets to guess if a man or a woman wrote these. So...
I am excited.
I will preface this by saying, this is the R-rated portion of the show. These are weird and... I don't want to say spicy, they're not spicy, but these are weird clips, so, you know, if you're listening in a public space, just beware. Okay.
I'm ready for this.
I'm just warning everybody. okay, first one. I wish I could say I'm mentally preparing a brilliant apology, but I'm not. I seem to have a one-track mind, and that track leads straight to the two things I shouldn't even be thinking about right now. Her boobs. Both of them. I know, I'm pathetic, but if we're just going to sit here and stare at each other, it'd be nice if she were showing a little cleavage instead of wearing this long sleeve shirt that leaves everything to the imagination. It's pushing 80 degrees outside. She should be in something a lot less convent inspired.
I don't know. It's giving me sarcasm vibes, like satire, like as if it's a woman writer writing a man's point of view of not being able to take a woman seriously because she's not showing any cleavage, but I'm gonna say it was a woman writer.
It was a woman writer.
Yeah.
Oh, should I expose these writers?
It was, no, I think if people want to look it up, they can.
That one would probably, but people love that one. Like, people love the author who wrote that, so maybe I shouldn't say. People get mad.
But maybe that...
Someone who has read the book will listen to it and be like, oh my god!
I feel like the fact that I could call out that it sounded like a girl mocking a man for being like, this yeah. is how he thinks about a woman that he's having a conversation about. Like, that's what... Those are the vibes I got. Not necessarily, like, a guy trying to write about a woman who's like, ugh. Her breasts were so perky.
Yeah. Okay. The next one I just really got a kick out of. Women who love horses usually love sex. It is no accident for girls, the onset of puberty is often marked by an obsession with horse flesh.
That is mad.
As a horse girly myself, I was like, oh my god, you did not have to say the words horse flesh.
That's a man. I think that's a man writing that.
Woman. It was a woman.
A woman what? A woman riding horse flesh. Okay.
I know. An obsession with horse flesh. God. Someone read that too and was like, yeah, totally. Okay. She turned his hand so that he could feel her nipple in his palm. He loved her breasts and touched them whenever he could, which was seldom. She wished it were oftener. She loved it. Other people had stroked her. A doctor, an Anglican priest, an older girl at a dancing class, a man in a crowd. And she had been disturbed and at the same time flattered at the thought that she could arouse people's lust. but she had never enjoyed it until now.
Man.
Yeah, that was a man. I got these off of a Reddit thread, and the one who was in the title was like, yes, the ultimate form of flattery or something. Oh my god.
she had it, enjoyed it until now, gave it away.
Yeah, I know, right? Okay, last one. When she returned to where she'd been sitting, she noticed a rusty red spot on the ground. She looked around, squatted to touch it, and felt something loosen inside of her. What does that mean, by the way? She stepped away and saw a new drop on the ground. She touched the inside of her leg. Her hand came away with a small smear of the same rust red. She touched the smear to her tongue.
Ew!
Iron metal winter blood. She squatted and pulled her smock up so she could see the ground between her feet. She watched small drops of red fall slowly, drip, drip, like time passing. She watched the drop's edge become ragged in the dirt. She felt the drops release from her with a
Why
light,
does he keep
wet
saying
trickle.
Drops?
One drop, two drops, three drops to ten. And then it stopped. The title of this one was I guess we're like a faucet or something like that. It was funny.
I was gonna say, this has to be a man, because anybody who has a period would know that that's not how it works.
Yeah, that was a woman.
I think it was a what? It was
I knew that would get you.
What? Poor woman.
I have so
that's
many questions about
works?
This passage. What is loosening inside you? And
also, why
there
would you
are so
taste
many
it?
Drips. I literally, you were here with me when I was reading it, and I went, oh, did you hear me do that? I literally gasped. She touched the smear to her tongue, and I was like, oh, awful, awful.
Yeah, no, that's too much.
So, on that note.
I got two.
You did get two. Looking for these clips was hilarious. Like, I forget how wacky some of these freaking passages are.
Oh, man. Well, thanks for joining us today. We hope you enjoyed our enemies to lovers discussion and all of our recommendations. And you can follow us on social. We're at Emo Girls Guide on Instagram. Twitter/X.com, whatever we're calling it these days. I don't even know. We're there. TikTok. We're also on Fable now. We'll be reading a new book every month, so join our book
club. We're finishing out The Curse of Saints soon, but we will be picking a new book. We were going...
If anybody has recommendations,
yeah, please yell at
us
if you want to join in and there's something you want to read. We are very open.
We're here. Yeah. We have a long list, so there's...
The options are endless.
Come at us with more. We can add more to the list, so join us. But yeah, may your day be blessed with main character energy.
Main character energy.
Woo!